الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله، منها 4 حرم. وقال تعالى: سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. Respected elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The ayat of the Quran Kareem that I recited in the khutbah, I will recite it again. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها 4 حرم. This ayat of the Quran Kareem, it speaks about an important notion of our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the fact that time is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This entity of time is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And outwardly, each unit of time is not different from another unit of time. Just as 1 second passes on a Friday, so too does 1 second pass in the same manner and with the same duration that it would pass on a Monday. Just as a day of the month of Jumadul Ukhra also has 24 hours, just as a day in the month of Rajab or Sha'ban or Ramadan. Outwardly, these units of time do not differ from each other. They are exactly the same. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are certain periods of time which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preferred and granted more blessing, and in many instances granted more thawab, more reward to the actions carried out in those periods of time as compared to other periods of time. Just as the notion of space is also a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every entity and every place on this earth, every area, property, is all a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one is a masjid like our masjid in South Africa, And another is the masjid, like Al-Masjidul Haram in Makkah Mukarramah. Outwardly, the same material, the same sand, stone, is used to put these structures up. But we all realize that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attaches a special blessing, a special association with Himself to a certain place, that place becomes sanctified and it enjoys a much more higher status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of that in our eyes as well in this world. A brick in a normal house, in a normal building, has some value, but a brick that is used to build a masjid obviously has much more spiritual and sentimental value. Then just imagine the brick that has been used to build Al-Masjidul Haram, or the brick that is used to build the Kaaba Sharif. Outwardly it's the same sand, stone, cement, but because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attaching a special value and a special sanctity to these spaces and to these places, do the value of anything attached to those places and spaces increase. So similar is the case of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all time outwardly equal, but has attached special importance and significance to certain periods of the year. And currently we are experiencing, with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a very special period of the year to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached much significance and much virtue. We are in the month of Rajab. Firstly, the month of Rajab is from the Arba Ashhurul Hurum, the four sanctified sacred months. These months enjoyed sanctity from even before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But unfortunately, the Arabs of Jahiliyyah used to swap around the months in order to accommodate their infighting and their civil wars. And then with the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought back time to its original place. So firstly, this is a month from the four sacred months. In the beginning of Islam, it was not permissible to wage any jihad in these months as well, because of the sanctity of these months. And thereafter this hukam was abrogated. However, there is still very special sanctity and virtue attached to this month. Similarly, before the advent of Islam, there was a ritual that the Arabs of Jahiliyyah used to engage in, which is called Atira. They would slaughter an animal in the name of, wal'iyadu billah, their idols, in the month of Rajab, to sanctify this month. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, then the Muslims continued with this practice, but they used to slaughter those animals in, obviously, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, subsequently, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited this sacrifice as well. And the only sacrifice that is an ibadah as a sacrifice is the ibadah of udhiyah and qurbani. So we see that there is a lot of virtue attached to this month. Another reason for the virtue of this month is that it is the season of Ramadan. Once the moon of Rajab is sighted, the season of Ramadan starts. That is why it is reported in some narrations that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this dua. There is some academic discussion on the authenticity of the chain of narrators, but that does not bar us. The ulama say that we should make this dua. They encourage us to make this dua. That and the advent of Rajab, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. And according to some ulama, fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, grant us barakah in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, and allow us to reach Ramadan. Allow us to reach Ramadan basically means grant us life so that we experience the barakat of Ramadan. Now, if we just ponder a little on this dua, we realize the extraordinary importance that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam attaches to the month of Ramadan. How is that? Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahab, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, my Ustad and Sheikh, he turns our attention to a very important and very significant point in this hadith. Hazrat Wala mentions that we are in need of barakah. What is barakah? Barakah is basically the ni'mah of Allah, the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which Allah allows us to make the best of whatever He has given us. So, barakah in a person's material belongings, for example, would mean that those material belongings are used in a way that benefits the person and are not wasted away. He has a certain amount of money or wealth, and that wealth benefits him. It's not that there are calamities upon calamities that befall this person, and all the wealth is just spent on trying to deter those calamities, etc. I'm not saying that calamities are always a means of Allah's azab. I'm just giving an example. So barakah is the ni'mah, is that bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through which whatever Allah has given us is used for our benefit. That is the gist of barakah. So Hazrat Wala says that aren't we in need of barakah for the whole year? Aren't we in need of barakah for the whole year? So definitely we are in need of barakah for the whole year. And there are other du'as in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeks barakah for the whole year. And generally in a person's life. But what is being conveyed here via this dua is that we need to use the months of Rajab and Sha'ban to our benefit, to prepare for Ramadan. We need to use this period of Rajab, which is a sanctified, a spiritually a virtuous period, to make the best of it and prepare for Ramadan. Similarly, Sha'ban is coming. The 15th night of Sha'ban, it's a very, very virtuous night in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His forgiveness knows no bounds. And it is narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast excessively in Sha'ban, in preparation for Ramadan. So we need to use these moments and this period of time to make ourselves more eligible, more able to receive the barakat of Ramadan, to prepare ourselves spiritually. And how do we do that? With regards to Rajab, there is no specific ibadah that is narrated in any authentic hadith. Yes, this particular hadith, this dua, tells us in a general way that we need to become aware and we need to start preparing, we need to become more engaged, more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of ibadat in general, of virtuous acts. However, there are certain misconceptions. For example, there is a misconception that there is some special virtue attached to the ibadah of the 27th night of Rajab. This is not correct. There is no hadith, there is no narration to support this. Our Salaf also did not engage in this. No specific ibadah for the night. Yes, generally engaging in ibadah and increasing your ibadah in Rajab with the intention for preparation of Ramadan is definitely very, very virtuous and inshallah will be rewarded abundantly. But to specify the night of the 27th of Rajab for any specific type of ibadah, there are certain specific types of ibadah that have been narrated over the years which are unauthentic, the Salatul Ragaib and other such ibadat. There is no specific type of ibadah. And if a person engages on the 27th night of Rajab, like how he engages in other nights in extra ibadah without attaching any special virtue to it, without believing that there is any special sawab for engaging in ibadah on the 27th night, then that's permissible. That's also part of preparation for Ramadan. Similarly, there's this misconception that the fast of the 27th day of Rajab has some special virtue. No, this is incorrect. There is no such special virtue attached to it. There is no such, if a person fasts like how he normally fasts in other days of the year, Mondays, Thursdays, in the Ayam-e-Bir, 13th, 14th or 15th of the lunar month, or he fasts on the 27th day of Rajab without believing that this fast has any special virtue, any more sawab than any other fast, then we can say it's permissible. But it is not any specific fast, it is not a mustahab fast, nothing of that sort. And one of the reasons for this, like is mentioned by Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, is that the advent of Mi'raj being in the month of Rajab is also something in which the ulama have had academic discussions on. And definitely there is one view which states that the Mi'raj did take place in Rajab, but there are other views. And many ulama have preferred those other views. But the point that Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib makes, a very pertinent point, is that the whole temperament of Sharia, the whole temperament of Islam, is that we do not commemorate specific significant dates and nights as a memorial of those events that took place. Hazrat Wala says, the mizaj and the temperament of Islam is that you do not commemorate on a continuous basis any specific action of any of our prior predecessors as an ongoing and a continuous, a regular type of commemoration. And there are only two events which are prescribed by the Sharia. That is Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. And these events are prescribed by the Sharia on the completion of the ibadat of the person who is commemorating the event, who is celebrating that event, when he completes his 30 fasts, or when he is able to do the Hajj, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now, mashallah, you have completed something yourself, now commemorate it, celebrate it with these two ibadat. It is not the temperament of Sharia and Islam to commemorate, you know, on a very regular basis and continuously the events of and the achievements of people of the past. Yes, you remember that, you take lesson from it. The commemoration of achievements of the people of the past, Hazrat Wala mentions, should be not specified to a certain day and a certain night and a... No, it should be commemorated in our actions throughout our lives. Salah, which was received by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the night of Mi'raj, needs to be revived. Not only the fard, the fara'id, but also the extra nawafil needs to be revived in our lives on a continuous basis. The jihad that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam engaged in Badr and Uhud and all the other ghazawat, the jazba of that jihad needs to be revived, and we have to live that jazba throughout our lives. It is not that we commemorate the 17th of Ramadan as the day of the battle of Badr and bas, that's it. No. So that is the mizaj and the temperament of Sharia and of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding. I would just like to end off on a word or two about the whatever, about the thing and the matter that is on the top of each and every of our minds. That is the catastrophe and the oppression that is happening in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the pain and the suffering of our oppressed brothers and sisters in Gaza, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the mujahideen victory. And hopefully it is looking like that, alhamdulillah. It is looking that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the mujahideen victory. Regarding this, I just wanted to just remind ourselves of a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and just clarify sometimes a certain misconception with regards to sunnah. That is the sunnah of qunut of nazila, qunutun nazila, the qunut that we started reading in the fajr salah as soon as this jihad started. But slowly there is a feeling that slowly we have stopped doing the qunut in fajr salah. And maybe one of the reasons is that it comes in the ahadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qanata shahran thumma taraka, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made qunut on a certain occasion for 1 month and then left it. So there might be this misconception that it is only sunnah to make qunut for 1 month. However, the muhaddithin, they clarify this, Hazrat Allama Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullah alayh, in Badlul Majhood, he clarifies it and says that the reason for that was that calamity, it went away after 1 month. And that is why once the calamity went away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped qunut. But that does not mean if a calamity is ongoing, we stop the qunut. No. We must continue with the qunut. The fuqaha of the Hanafiya, the Hanafi fuqaha, make explicit mention of this, that the qunut should carry on, and they also make explicit mention that this is a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that needs to be revived. It should carry on as long as the calamity is carrying on. Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahab Damat Barakatum, he says that, you know, if you want to give a little bit of a break, give a little bit of a break for a little while, maybe 1 or 2 weeks or so, but then start again. It shouldn't be that this sunnah is, especially in when they are, you know, most in need of our dua. And I think this is the least we can do. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.